Radio Krishna presents Stories from the Mahabharata, or the History of Greater India.
Today's show, 1 year incognito. After 12 years of exile in the forest, the Pandava brothers, in order to complete their vow, were obliged to spend the 13th year incognito within the city. The elder brother, Yudhisthira, disguised as a Brahmin priest, took the position of companion to the king, Virata. Now his four brothers and their wife, Draupadi, were to assume roles in a similar way, so that they might pass the 13th year unrecognized, and thus be able to regain their usurped kingdom. First, Brother Bhima comes as a cook. A few days later, Bhima entered the city of Virat. Carrying a ladle in his hand, he entered the streets of the city and came to the palace of the king. Everyone was amazed at his physique. He was magnificent. There was no other word for it. He calmly entered the palace and came to the court of the king. No one prevented him from walking right in like that. The king looked at him and liked his appearance. Bhima came near the throne and said,
"May God bless the king of the Matsyas. My lord, I have come to your court since I have heard about your noble nature and your sympathy for those who are in trouble. I am an excellent cook. It's not good to talk about oneself, but I have to since there's no one around here to recommend me. I can cook 1,000 different tasty dishes. I'll be happy if I am allowed to stay with you and cook for you."
The king looked at him and said that the young man seemed to be too good for the job that he proposed to take up. To the king, he looked like a prince in disguise, and was more fit to command an army sitting on an elephant or in a chariot. His body seemed to be very well trained by exercise, that he didn't look like a cook at all. Bhima laughed lightly and said,
"You are right, my lord. I am not a cook by profession. I'm a wrestler. I can defeat all the wrestlers in this world. Cooking is just my hobby. Being a hobby, it gives me great pleasure whenever I have a chance to practice it. I will also take good care of your gymnasium if you like. I can train young men to develop their bodies well. But I also would like to be a cook in your kitchen."
The king said that he found him to be a charming person. He was very happy, in fact, to have him there, not just to be a cook, but be in charge of the kitchen. Indeed, he should supervise the entire kitchen and take care to teach the other cooks all that he knew. Besides, he should also be in charge of the gymnasium. The king was very pleased to have him there, and Bhima said,
"I am grateful to you, my lord, for these kind words. My name is Balala. I will start my duties immediately."
Two of the Pandavas were now successful in finding a hiding place. The court of Virata took on a new splendor since Yudhisthira was there. Bhima was happy since he enjoyed the tasks he had undertaken. Arjun entered the court of Virata. He was wearing his hair long, and it was covering his shoulders. He was wearing necklaces made of corals and pearls. His form was draped in red silk. He was looking charming. His feminine attire hid his glory, and at the same time it did not. He looked like the moon during the eclipse. Arjun walked straight to the king's throne and said,
I am Brihanala, the dancer. I am well versed in all the fine arts that a woman should know. No one can make flower garlands for the hair as I can. As for my dancing and my music, I have learned it from an angel. There is no one to equal me in these arts. I want to stay in your court and train your daughter in the fine arts of dancing and music. I hope you will have me.
The king was pleased with his manner of talking. He said that he did not look like a dancer, but more like a warrior, especially an archer. His arms and his chest made one think that if he had learned archery, he would have been an excellent archer. The king liked the look of him very much. Was he really half woman, as he said? He must be an archer, the king thought. But the king was willing to entrust his kingdom to him. Virata was an old man, and Arjun could be like a son to him. He would give this young man his kingdom and all that he had. Arjun should rule the kingdom, since he seemed fitted to be a king and not to be a dancer. Arjun smiled a shy and charming smile and said,
My lord, the only string that I can twang is the string of the veena. The only art I know is the art of dancing. I will be the tutor of your daughter, Uttara, the princess. I will make her the greatest dancer in the world.
The king said that it was as he wished. He could stay and live there. He sent for his beautiful daughter, Uttara, and told her that the newcomer would be her companion from then on, and that she could learn dancing and singing from her. He added,
He or she seems to be a high-born person. She or he does not seem to be an ordinary dancer. Treat her or him with the respect due to a queen or a king. Take her to your apartments.
Arjun was happy to be the teacher to a sweet-natured, charming daughter like the daughter of Virata. Uttara's companions, too, began learning dancing from him. So three of the Pandavas were safely established in the city of Virata. Two more brothers and Draupadi had yet to arrive. The king was inspecting his horses. When he was going on his rounds, he saw a dark, handsome young man looking at the horses with the eyes of one who loved them. The king thought to himself that this man was the most handsome he had ever seen. He was attracted to him, and he seemed to love horses. It looked as though he knew all about them. And Virata could see that by the way he looked at them, he must summon him to his presence and find out who he was. Even as he was thinking of calling to this man, Nakula approached the king, and after saluting him said,
I have come to your city with the intention of earning a livelihood. I am expert in the management of horses. If you will make me your servant, I will be grateful to you.
Virata said that he could be in charge of his beloved horses. He was happy to have an expert handling them with love and care, and the king was sure that he was leaving them in safe hands. But to the king seemed to belong to some high caste and not that of a stable boy. How was it that he was asking for work there? He did not think that he was used to work. But this boy seemed better fitted to command someone else. Nakula smiled and said nothing. Virata said that he could be in charge of the stables. Nakula was glad that he had not asked many more questions. He said,
My name is Damagranti. I will do my best to please you in every way.
He was immensely pleased to be with the horses which he loved. He was almost as happy as he was back in Indraprast. Sahadev was the last to enter the association of Virata. He had put on the dress of a cowherd. With a staff in his hand, he looked as charming as the cousin Krishna when he was in Gokula. Sahadev came to the king and said,
"Please make me the chief cowherd in your kingdom. I will guard your wealth of cattle. I can cure any disease which affects cows and bulls. I am a specialist in the handling of cows. They will yield more milk if I milk them. They will be healthy and beautiful. My name is Tantri Pala, and I have come to your kingdom since your main wealth is cattle, and I feel you will give me a place in the cowshed."
Virata looked at Sahadev and said that whoever he may be, he looked as though he had seen better days. He did not seem to deserve this menial task, but he was welcome to Virata. He had never said no to anyone who asked favors of him. He told Sahadev that he would be doing him a favor by taking charge of his cattle and wealth, and Sahadev was very pleased with his good fortune. Thus the five Pandavas entered the city of the king, who was very good and very noble. For the first time in their exile, the Pandavas were very happy. They had now managed to solve their major problem. It was now only a question of time before they could emerge out of their hiding and claim the world which was theirs. Draupadi entered the city in the guise of Shairandri. The passers-by were struck by the beauty of this woman who was dressed in such old and dirty garments. She held the strands of her long, flowing hair in her right hand. A smile lit up her face. She was walking fast toward the palace of the queen. The queen of Virata was looking from the balcony of her palace. Her name was Sudeshna, a princess from Kekaya. She was struck, too, by the charm and personality of this woman. She saw the smile vanish from the face of this stranger. The people on the street were following her and laughing at her. The woman was terrified of their jeering, and she walked faster, and the laughter grew louder. The queen was overcome with pity for the poor, lonely woman, who did not seem to have anyone with her. She sent for her maids and told them to bring this person up to her. They went to the woman, who was alone in the midst of the crowd, and told her,
"Our queen wants you to come in."
And Draupadi entered the palace and stood in the presence of the queen. She still held her hair in her right hand. She now twisted it into a coil and put it behind her back. She saw the queen get up from her seat. Draupadi was still trembling because of her experience on the street. The crowd jeering at her was an insult she had to bear. Sudeshna was very touched by the timid look in the eyes of Draupadi. She took her hand and made her sit by her side, and she asked the newcomer, "That you are so beautiful. How is it that you are alone? Why are you not married? How could any man resist you? Why have you come to our city, and where do you come from?" So Draupadi answered her,
"My queen, I have come to you to make a living. I am an artist in the art of decorating. I was handmaiden to Draupadi, the queen of the Pandavas. I had nowhere to go since they went away to the forest. My decorations are not now needed by that poor, unfortunate queen. Hearing about your good qualities, I have come to you in the hope of pleasing you with my accomplishments. I hope my hopes will not be in vain."
The Queen Sudeshna assured her that she would keep her in the palace with her, and she hoped that she would be happy. She told her that you can use this palace as your own. You say that you have lived with the Queen of the Pandavas, so you must have enjoyed many privileges. You can use this palace garden of mine whenever you want to be alone with your thoughts. I can see that you have suffered a lot. May I ask what troubles you are having now? Draupadi's tears flowed easily, and the queen took her on her lap and comforted her as she would a little child. Draupadi told her,
I am Sairandri. I have 5 Gandharas. Heavenly people is my husband's. They had to leave me and go away because of curse. The curse will lift at the end of a year, and I am unhappy because I have never been separated from them before. The Pandava queen would say that we were similar even in this rare thing, having 5 husbands. I am sure that in a year's time my dark days will be over. I am happy I have found a sister and a mother in you.
Sudeshna was silent for a few moments and then told her that there was just one more thing to say, that something was troubling her, that this Draupadi was too beautiful and her husband, the king, was very susceptible to feminine charm. What if he would fall in love with Draupadi? To this she said,
Please do not have that worry. I will not abuse your kindness by letting the king see me. I will always stay in the inner apartments and I will not be seen by anyone. If I am insulted, my husbands will kill the offender. I will be particularly careful that nothing happens to hurt you. You can trust me.
Sudeshna was touched by the gentle and loving words of Draupadi, and she continued,
I have only 2 more requests. I will not eat food that is left over, nor will I massage the feet of others. These tasks, if performed by we, will displease my husbands.
The queen said that she would never have the occasion to do either of these things. So Draupadi, the queen of the Pandavas, became a flower girl. The elder brother Yudhisthira was a companion to the king. Bhima became the cook, Arjun a dancing master. Nakula was the stable boy, and Sahadev a cowherd. The Pandavas were all happy, and Draupadi also. The king of Virata was very noble, and his wife was his perfect counterpart. This princess was a delightful child. They spent the time happily in the beautiful city of Virata. 3 months were over. They had only 9 months left. During the 4th month of their stay in Virata, there was celebrated in the city a great festival in honor of Shankara. The celebrations included an exhibition of wrestling. From all over the world came wrestlers to show off their prowess. The function was very impressive, and the king, with all his retinue, sat there watching the wrestling. There was one wrestler who had come from a foreign land. He was invincible. All the wrestlers in Virata were defeated by him. He stood in the middle of the ring and called out in a loud voice,
I am the greatest wrestler in the world. There is no one who can challenge me. I am more powerful than lions and tigers.
His bragging was unbearable. The king was disappointed in his own men. He said,
Is there no one here who can take up this man's challenge and teach him a lesson?
Yudhisthira sat by his side and said,
In Indraprastha, when I was with King Yudhisthira, I happened to see a wrestler. I have seen his technique. He is sure to defeat this man. Fortunately for us, this man is now in your palace. He is in charge of your gymnasium. You can summon him. I assure you, he will defeat this man.
Virata was pleased at the suggestion of Yudhisthira. he was happy to know that there was, in his court, someone who would uphold the reputation of him. He sent for Bhima. Virata said,
Valhalla, Kanka tells me that he has seen you wrestling in the city of the Pandavas. He says that you can defeat this man who's challenging everyone. Please tell me if you can fight this braggart and beat him.
Bhima also saw that man standing in the middle of the ring. He could have accepted the challenge easily, but he was not for it. He was afraid his technique might be recognized. That was the reason for his standing still. But now the king had called him, and that at the suggestion of his brother Yudhisthira. Since his brother thought that it would be right, Bhima decided that he would fight. He said,
My lord, I can certainly fight this man, and I can defeat him easily. King Yudhisthira was always praising my methods of fighting. I have been with you for so long now. You have treated me with so much affection. I will try and repay, to a small extent, your love and kindness. By the grace of Lord Sankara, I will defeat this man and win fame and a name for the Matsyas.
Bhima prepared himself for the fight. Dressed in his tights, typical of a wrestler, he entered the arena like an angry panther. The stadium went wild with excitement, and cheers rang from all quarters.
The fight was on. Roaring like a lion, Bhima began his attack. It was a terrible fight. Bhima fought with all of his might. He was eager to please the king, and he did not want to let down his beloved brother who had spoken so highly of him. The sportsman in Yudhisthira could not let this man go unchallenged. And that was why he had suggested the fight in the first place. It was now up to him to maintain his name and reputation. The two fighters looked like two huge rain clouds, charging against one another. The spectators didn't move an inch. They were glued to their seats. The cheering had also stopped. So absorbed was everyone in watching this unique spectacle. They'd never seen anything like it before. In the end, Bhima lifted up his opponent in the air and twirled him round and round like a wheel. Until he became giddy and finally unconscious. Bhima then dashed him to the ground and defeated him. The king was immensely pleased with the prowess of Bhima. His Virat could now boast of a wrestler who had killed the man who had till then been the greatest wrestler in the world.
This was the one incident which made Bhima an even greater favorite of the king than he already was. The Pandavas were enjoying their 13th year of exile. It was such a good atmosphere. In Virata they found peace which they had not known for a long time. They found affection showered on them. They had been so long used to injustice and ill treatment all these days that this affection of the king was like a balm to their bruised hearts. They were happy. The months passed by very quickly. 10 months had now passed like 10 days. Time passes too soon if one is happy. It lengthens itself infinitely if one is unhappy. The 12 years had seemed so long. At the end of that period, the Pandavas dreaded this 13th year, which loomed so formidably in front of them. They thought that it would be the most difficult year, but they found that it was their happiest year.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Stories from the Mahabharata, the celebrated history of Greater India. Compiled by the great sage Vyas many thousands of years ago, Mahabharata is written in the Sanskrit language in verse form and is here adapted for radio and brought to you by Radio Krishna. Tune in again for our next presentation of Stories from the Mahabharata.